On Tuesday, a bridge has collapsed in Genoa, Italy, and left dozens dead and the country reeling. The government is rushing to find answers and has already begun pointing fingers at the company responsible for operating the bridge. European correspondent from Deutsche Welle, Ineke Mules, spoke to Tom Mann to find out more. He began by asking her what happened in Genoa.
It's been a pretty dramatic week in Genoa, in Italy. As you've probably heard by now, this bridge, this long bridge called the Morandi Bridge, basically caved in completely and collapsed during a heavy rainstorm in the city, and about 35 cars and trucks fell around 45 metres onto the railway tracks below. At this stage, they believe at least 39 people have been killed as a result. And only yesterday, the Italian Prime Minister, Giuseppe Conte, he declared a 12-month state of emergency in the region in response to this collapse. He said he's going to make around 500 million euros available from central funds to this region as a result of the disaster. So it's really left not only Italy reeling, but Europe in general reeling as well, given that there's footage of this bridge collapsing, which is quite scary to watch, actually. It's in the middle of this very heavy rainstorm and the bridge just sort of disappears. And the fact that this bridge is used by hundreds, if not thousands, of motorists every day, depending on how busy it is, and has been there for years and years, and the fact that it can just collapse so suddenly has got a lot of people very concerned. But probably most interesting this week has been the political response. So the cause of the collapse, the official cause, is not yet known. But there's been a lot of very heavy criticism of the company who is responsible for operating the bridge. So Italy's coalition government has very, very quickly turned on this company called Autostrade per Italia. And they were the company in charge of operating and maintaining not only this bridge, but motorways across the entire country. So they've really turned towards this company. They say they've launched a criminal inquiry, which is going to focus on the bridge's maintenance and design. And yes, they're calling for top managers at this Autostrade company to resign. They've launched an attempt even to revoke the company's contract entirely and impose a significant fine, probably over 100 million euros. And Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte, he's also really pointed the finger at Autostrade, saying that basically, this event is unacceptable in modern society, and the newly elected government has really sort of stepped up and has been very strongly saying that they're going to work very hard that these kinds of events wouldn't happen again. But interestingly, within hours of this disaster, this government, and this is the anti-establishment five-star movement, they face scrutiny themselves because there was a statement actually published on their website back in 2013, which is not all that long ago, saying that this bridge had the strength to last another 100 years. This post had actually been removed from the website on Wednesday, not long after the disaster, although a cached version can still be accessed, interestingly. And ministers are saying that it was published by a spokesperson who has since been expelled from the party and that it wasn't in line with official policies and so on. But that's also really got the government in hot water as well, the fact that there was even a study done and they concluded that the idea of an imminent collapse of this bridge was a fairy tale. So that's really got, although they are rounding on this this company that is allegedly responsible for the collapse of the bridge, the government themselves is also possibly facing a very difficult situation given the fact that they were asked to look into this, or at least the party, five-star movement party before they were elected government a few years ago, were asked to look into this issue of the bridge, which had caused a bit of concern previously, and they more or less dismissed it. So this is going to be very interesting to see how it unfolds from here, not just from the infrastructure point of view, but from the political point of view as well, and just see how these ministers are going to respond.
Now, given that finger-pointing has begun, as you said, the government blaming the company responsible for operating the bridge and the government themselves being in hot water for previous statements they've made about the bridge, what is the tone from the population of Italy? What would they like to see the consequences for who is possibly responsible for this disaster?
Yeah, I mean, generally, it's only happened not very long ago, so the population is angry, just to put it mildly, I suppose. And also, of course, you know, you have at least 39 people who have been killed. So a lot of the coverage this week is focused on those people and getting as many people out as possible and the rescue efforts. And of course, a lot of people have been praising the rescue efforts of the fire department and the police and so on. So there has been a lot of, yeah, a real mixed feeling of anger and grief. And as more and more details come out about this bridge, you know, it's really reigniting this debate about the state of infrastructure throughout Italy. And this particular bridge, this Morandi Bridge, this information is now just coming out. Apparently it's been riddled with structural problems since its construction back in the 60s. And there has been expensive maintenance carried out and repeated criticism from engineering experts. But of course, this kind of criticism tends to stay within those circles, those engineering circles, those infrastructure circles. So the public wasn't necessarily aware of all this surrounding the bridge. In fact, on Tuesday, a specialist Italian engineering website, they published a piece which really got to the core of these long-standing concerns over the bridge, and they called it a tragedy waiting to happen. So as more and more of this information comes to light, which the public wasn't necessarily aware of before, which very few people were aware of before, they are very, very angry with the situation, and they have sided with the government in the sense that they would like to see this company, Autostrada company, take some kind of responsibility for that, whether that means, you know, their entire, their board resigning, fines, what have you, anything to do with that. But they're probably also very concerned, like I mentioned before, of this, what was the Five Star Movement, which is now part of the coalition government, published back in 2013, basically dismissing any kind of concern over the structural integrity of the bridge. It only happened, you know, a few days ago, once this mourning period is over, which will take quite a long time, it's really going to turn to the legal impact of this as well. And of course, you know, it's very likely going to start looking at other pieces of infrastructure around Italy, other bridges, and I think it has a lot of people very nervous.
Now, a rescue boat has arrived in Malta carrying 141 migrants following 5 days at sea. And why were they out there for so long?
Yeah, so this rescue ship called Aquarius, they arrived at a harbour in Malta on Wednesday. They let 141 migrants get off there, and this basically ended a five-day standoff between European Union countries. This vessel was basically floating around in the sea, banned from docking in various ports. So this ship was run by a charity, a French-German charity called SOS Mediterranean, and alongside Doctors Without Borders. And they were only allowed in after France, Luxembourg, Portugal, Germany, and Spain agreed to finally take in the migrants. And these migrants were rescued off the coast of Libya, so they've been through quite an ordeal. And, you know, to stay on this boat for 5 days, just kind of floating around, was very much criticised by the NGOs who were involved in rescuing them. But they've really got caught up in this political stalemate. And it's really just once again highlighting this issue of migration in Europe and how politically tense it can be, despite the fact that there was a summit held in June, which EU leaders attended, which was supposed to deal with this exact issue. EU leaders, as a result of that summit, they promised to create these so-called control centres within the EU, so that would basically assess the asylum claims of people who would cross the Mediterranean. But although this agreement has been made, no country has yet agreed to set up these processing centres. So these migrants are still ending up in limbo in the middle of the ocean, effectively. So Malta initially argued that the migrants aboard the ship should be taken back to Libya or Tunisia or one of the Italian islands, which is closer to the rescue ports. But eventually, after quite a lot of discussion between the European countries, some kind of a deal was reached. The ship was managed to dock, It didn't come without controversy. Unfortunately, members of a quite well-known right-wing group in Malta, called the Malta Patriotic Movement, they were ready there at the dock. They had a banner which read, stop human trafficking. And then right next to them, there was a crew members from another vessel involved in rescuing MV Lifeline also held up a banner of their own saying that everyone has the right to life. So that created quite a stark image of those two banners unfolded just as these migrants were getting off the ship. Most of these migrants came from Eritrea and Somalia, we believe. But yes, it's like I said, it's just another narrative in this unfolding saga of what these European countries are trying to figure out what to do with their migrants. And there has been warnings that although we may not see the amount that came in 2015, it's still gradually increasing. So the European Union needs to figure out quickly what to do with these people, rather than just letting them sort of sit in the ocean while they figure out where they're going to go and where they're going to dock. And of course, this was, you know, it wasn't a huge 141 people. It's quite a large number, but you know, there could be more. If there were three or four or five vessels of that amount sitting out in the ocean, then that would lead to even more problems. So, a lot of people are saying this is hopefully a bit of a wake up call that, despite the fact that this summit was held back in June, and back in June, you know, a lot of European Union leaders were very much hailing their progress, giving themselves a pat on the back for figuring out how to solve the problem, but they really haven't from a practical sense. So some people are hoping that this is going to be a bit of a wake-up call, and so that the next time this happens, they won't just have to float around looking for somewhere to dock. They will know where they have to go and where they're going to go onwards from there as well.
And finally, Romanians have taken to the streets over the weekend to rally against corruption in their government. What are their concerns with the government?
Yeah, so this is just the latest rallies in Romania against this centre-left government, which has basically been accused of quite serious corruption issues ever since they came into office last year. So the part of the background of this is that the leader of the ruling Social Democratic Party, Liviu Dragnea, he was sentenced to prison earlier in the year for a case related to his abuses of power. But he still remains in office because the case was appealed. And this is also despite the fact that he was previously convicted of electoral fraud. And ever since this case came about, the party has basically been trying to change laws, change the constitution as a way of processes are saying they're trying to weaken the judiciary. So that could basically, these proposed changes in a nutshell, could be used to lessen punishment for elected officials convicted of wrongdoing. And in this case, of course, is the leader of the ruling Social Democrat Party, so it's quite serious in that sense. Earlier this year, another anti-corruption candidate, Klaus Ioanias, was elected president, but in Romania, president is more of a ceremonial role than anything. So he launched a campaign to tackle graft and the misuse of public funds and so on. But because his party doesn't actually control the legislature, where the Social Democrat Party is leading the coalition government, he doesn't really have a lot of power there. And so that's really, it really has a lot of people concerned, and like you mentioned before, thousands of protesters took to the streets in Romania for 3 days in a row, actually, to protest against this issue once again. Some people say that the crowd was at least 100,000. Many people who were protesting were actually expatriates, and they are increasingly coming home to demonstrate en masse as a result of these corruption scandals. They're very, very wary of the fact that staying silent may lead to these issues becoming even worse. So unfortunately, on Friday, the protest did end in violence. Allegedly, some aggressive protesters began clashing with police. In response, police fired back tear gas and smoke grenades and water cannons at a crowd, which unfortunately also injured many other peaceful protesters. It's believed that at least hundreds of people were injured. However, they did continue for the next 2 days, on Saturday and Sunday. On Sunday, they remained peaceful for the entire day. And there are lots of quite striking images as well of protesters holding up their glowing mobile phone screens, which has actually, in the course of this government being in office, has become a symbol from the people of anti-government and anti-corruption protests in Romania.
Winnika, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks.
European correspondent Inica Mule speaking with Tom Mann about the political unrest in Romania and other news from the continent.